till we get this bill passed. We really want to thank you. Amazing information. I know we've all learned a lot. This is going to be amazing. And now we're going to get behind you and help this to become law. Thank you so much. Any other closing words, Daryl?
Oh, no, no. Thank you so much. We look forward to certainly working with you in the future. Thank you for all that you're doing. I mean, you know, you're out there, you know, in it, really working for the voters and the folks that are part of Navajo Nation and the other Native American families that are there. So we appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much. And likewise to you all for getting the word out there and keeping, you know, voters front and center of all this work.
Thank you so much. Bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now, wow, people, I know you're saying, whoa, they're covering so much and they're moving so fast. Yes, because we got a lot to talk about. Ooh, we all have been watching this controversy about Alito. We did a show 2 weeks ago about Alito's upside-down flag at his house. And then it turns out, what, Daryl, that he had another flag at his at their vacation home. That was a call to heaven flag, which is usually used by Christian nationalists to indicate, you know, their philosophical positions. And that explains a lot about what Alito's been doing in the court to destroy, you know, the separation of church and state. So, but we found out that he had this other flag. It's been up for all, forever, also falling off. And he, of course, continued to blame his wife. Now he's talking about, oh, his wife has an ownership, you know, partially in this property. And, of course, you know, women being hysterical. You can't make them take down stuff when they're acting wrong. I mean, he's played on all those stereotypes. And Terry O'Neill, you know, I'm just disgusted hearing it. And I just think that we have to, you know, talk about, you know, about what's going on with Alito. But before we get to Alito, we have with us attorney Lynn Whitfield. Lynn, we've been talking about July 17th, and everything we're talking about ends up in July 17th. Can you tell all our listeners out there, because we've been saying we want you involved, we want you to host events, we want you to participate. How do they get that information? How do they sign up? Just tell people what the next steps are for participating in July 17th.
Thank you, Barbara, of course. And we do. We want to. We are so excited. We have approximately 18 events signed up already. From Washington, the state of Washington, to Washington, D.C. And it's really not that hard. If you want to think about holding an event, then you should attend the meeting on June the 13th at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. You can get to the information and register for that meeting by going to mobilize.us. That's M-O-B-I-L-I-Z-E. U.S. and put / John Lewis actions. First of all, that what that's going to do is take you to all the actions that are already planned for July 17th. And it will also get you to the planning meeting registration by going to that site. So that's how they do it, Barbara. It's very simple. Now, if they are thinking and already know they want to host an event and they just want to skip all of that and go directly to a page that will allow them to put their event on Mobilize, if they have pencil and paper, they can go to tinyurl, that's tinyurl.com, and then / 2024. John Lewis. That's tinyurl, that's tinyurl.com/2024 John Lewis. And that will take them directly to the page where they will put in the information about their event.
And we want everyone listening to know that Daryl, Lynn and I will be putting this up on our website, I mean, on our various social media pages. We're going to make sure that you can get it because I know it's hard for many people to visualize links, but we're going to put those links there. Plus, if you really want to do it the simple way, go to tjcoalition.org, our website, tjcoalition.org, and you can click right at the top of the website. There's a rotational where you can click to join us on June 13th, where you can get more information about hosting your event on Mobilize. It's simple, simple, simple. So we want you to do that. We want you to be part of this activity. Daryl, is there anything you wanted to add?
No, you know, Barbara, you know, the activity for July the 17th is really open to all kinds of activations across the country.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not comfortable doing a candlelight vigil, you just may want to do something at your home. You may want to do something in a park, just have a conversation. You may just want to do a Zoom. Whatever it is that you want to do, the concept here is to talk about your commitment to voting rights, to reaffirm your commitment to being certain that everyone has access to the vote. So at this meeting on June the 13th at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to be discussing different ways that you can have an activation and participate in what's going to be happening across the country. And, you know, we're going to have all kinds of ideas that were available for you, but, you know, we encourage you to show up on the 13th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time for this meeting to find out what's going on. And you may have other ideas of activations that you want to have in your community to get people involved and to learn about the various pieces of legislation that we've been speaking about. So, you know, that's what I would say, Barbara, is that, you know, the Mobilize is wonderful, but what we really want to do is we want to be certain that people are getting the word out to understand what's happening, where it's happening, and understand the voting rights and how it's under attack in our country right now.
Yes, and I just want to emphasize again, everyone, and thank you so much, Lynn. I want to emphasize again, as Lynn said, it doesn't have to be, and as Daryl was just saying, I know people who have done events with 20 people, but we've seen people do events with 2,000 people. So it's your imagination. Do you want to have a rally? Do you want to have a cookout? Do you want to have a teach-in? Do you want your church to, you know, devote that day to a special prayer service, you know, for voting rights justice? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you can do doing to honor this legacy and to reaffirm your own commitment to be a voting rights champion. And, of course, Terry O'Neill, you are one of those voting rights attorneys who have been out there being a champion. When you hear about July 17th from good old Tennessee, what are you thinking, Terry?
Oh, we need that here in Tennessee more than ever. I mean, it is one of the most, it's a state that has erected huge barriers to people targeting African-American communities in the state to prevent them from voting. And of course, that target also sort of spills out to a lot of other individuals, students, younger voters, low-income voters. So Tennessee is an absolute mess. I mean, the barriers to just civic engagement, to know what's going on in your legislature,
yes,
to knowing how to contact your member of the state legislature or even your member of the metro, in Nashville they call it a metro city council, so kind of a metropolitan area. Tennessee's a mess, and we really, really need some focused efforts on restoring the vote to so many people who just can't get there right now.
Amen. And Terry, what do you think about My Wife Did It? Oh, my hysterical, uncontrollable wife did this. This
yeah,
let's what in the world? Come on, Alito. Come on, stand up. You know, come on.
Justice.
What do you say, Terry?
I mean, this is radio, Barbara. So when I say justice, I'm using air quotes. Justice, Samuel Alito. I just want everybody to see that. this man, so he flies the upside down American flag, which is a symbol of what, you know, the country is in crisis.
It's a MAGA symbol right now. It's completely owned by the MAGA Republican Party, highly partisan flag. That's at his home in Virginia. At his vacation home in New Jersey, he's flying the Christian nationalist flag, right? with the evergreen tree or something. And to be clear, Christian nationalism is both racist and misogynist. So
right.
My wife did it, or my wife. I can't control my wife. That is a thing that racist misogynist men will say. Throw the little lady under the bus, blame
right.
her for it, while at the same time insisting that as a white patriarch, you have the right to dictate everybody else's place in the world, in the country, in the home, you know, and yet, I suppose, as a white patriarch, you also have the ability to just hold other people accountable for the crap that you do.
I mean, but it really is this contradiction, Daryl and Lynn. I mean, he's out there telling, and he wrote the Dobbs opinion, right? You know, and he just, you know, wrote that horrible, you know, South Carolina, the Alexander opinion on the voting rights case. I mean, he's out there telling other people constantly how they have lived their lives, what they mm-hmm. can't do, what they must do. And then he wants to tell us that he can't even tell his wife to take a flag down because she's mad at somebody, you know, being against Trump. Can you imagine that? I mean, what are we dealing with, Terry? What's really going on here?
I mean, you know, I think what's really going on here is that Samuel Alito believes he is not accountable to anyone for anything. And he's basically right. And John Roberts has kowtowed to Samuel Alito. John Roberts is not going to make any attempt to hold Alito accountable for his base partisan hackery. You know, Amy Coney Barrett made a speech maybe last year or the year before saying that she really doesn't want the Supreme Court to go down the road where people think of the justices as partisan hacks. Well, Samuel Alito has openly described himself, openly defined himself as a partisan hack by flying these flags in front of his home, combined with the decisions that he makes that are completely in keeping with the decisions that a partisan hack would make, specifically cutting off voting rights for people in African-American communities and stripping women of basic essential reproductive health care rights. So you know, he rules like a partisan hack. He flies his flag like a partisan hack. I mean, at some point, we got to say this guy's a duck.
He's done everything but quack. He's
quacking everything but quack.
Yes, yes. And Daryl, I mean, you know, come on. He has now, last week, refused, told Congress that and the world that he's not going to recuse himself from any cases on January 6th, where they flew the upside down flag, you know, it's part of their stop the steal, quote, stop the steal nonsense, and, you know, deadly nonsense, I should say. And he also has said that, you know, he's not going to recuse himself from any cases involving Donald Trump. When his wife was out there terrorizing the neighborhood because she was mad that somebody had a expletive Trump sign, you know, a flag that they were flying. I mean, come on, you know, what do you make out of this, Daryl? How do we get to court reform? Because as Terry said, Justice Roberts also told Congress that he won't meet with them. He won't meet with the Senate to talk about the misdeeds of his own court. What do we do?
Yeah, Barbara, you know, it's very interesting because, you know, clearly there is a court reform that's being discussed by many across the country. But, you know, interestingly, you know, the court has been changed and expanded previously, but I'm not certain that simply expanding the court is going to resolve the problem that exists. And I say that because, you know, when we start looking at the Supreme Court, you know, there's no substitute for bad ethics. There really isn't. You know, the reason that the Supreme Court did not have a code of ethics to operate by is because they were supposed to be the titular head. They were supposed to be the example. They were supposed to be what everyone looked up to because they were supposed to be operating, you know, without any appearance of any type of impropriety. So, you know, I don't know that expanding the court would have an impact. I know that's one of the things that's